Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Well, as you take your seat, go ahead and go with me once again. In fact, your Bible ought to just simply fall open to Galatians, the sixth chapter. We're looking at verse number 7. For those of you that are brand new, you might not know this. This is our fifth hour in teaching one verse, verse number 7. It's power-packed. And I love what Pastor Dan said last week. Boy, it's good word. It's not just fast food, but it's good food. And I want you to know that today as we look at the word of the Lord, this is our fifth hour in this one verse. I've known people who, you know, minister five times the entire book of Galatians. But we're not in any hurry. We're finding out the heartbeat, character, nature, and attributes of God by looking at the word of the Lord. It's kind of a fascinating thing as we look at it today because it's so incredibly important for all of us as a foundation to understand life and why we get blessed and why we don't get blessed and why God opens doors and why God doesn't open doors. So the title of this message is Sow to Reap. I don't want to just sow to get anything or nothing, and I want to do something to get something. And sow to reap is what this is all about. Let's take a look at Galatians, if you will, the sixth chapter, starting in verse number 7, and I want you to listen closely, and I want you to pay attention, because as I said before, this is vitally important, listen to me again, I'm going to say it again, vitally important to your future, not just the future of what, the people around you, but your personal future. So if you care about yourself, you ought to listen closely, because this is talking about you. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, you got to circle the word sows there, that he will also reap. Verse number 8, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. This is so exciting because what he's talking about is a word that oftentimes we don't really understand the depth of it. The word sow is a funny word. When we think of sow, we think of a sewing machine because we work, and live in an industrial city, in a city complex. But really what he's talking about is a seed that goes in the ground. And when you take a seed and you place it in the ground, that's called sowing. Now, you need to understand something. Everything in the natural world, let me say it one more time so you understand it. Everything in the natural world speaks of spiritual principles in the Word of God. Everything in the natural world will speak of spiritual principles. And what we're talking about is sowing whatsoever. And whatsoever is a big word. Dan mentioned it last week. Whatsoever means what? Whatsoever. And whatsoever a man sows, that which he sows, he will reap. That's a law of the Bible. In fact, it goes all the way back to Genesis, right at the beginning of the Bible, first chapter, that everything produces after its own kind. In other words, an orange tree is going to produce an orange tree. An apple tree produces an apple tree, doesn't produce a fig tree. You will find that a fig tree doesn't produce grapes and tomato plants. It produces figs. Everything produces after its own kind. That's the law. It's a biblical law in its place. We see it every day. And we need to be people that are wise enough to understand what God is really saying to us. That whatever a man sows, good, bad, indifferent, doesn't matter. He's going to reap either the good, bad, or the indifferent. And so when you start to live your life and understanding that God is really talking about us taking his seed and placing it in our hearts. And when we place the seed in our hearts, it better be a good seed, not a bad seed, because a bad seed operated in will produce bad results. And you don't want those, bad directions, bad things. And you'll say to yourself, being frustrated with God, how come that happens? But a good seed will produce the things that God would have produced, and you'll be thrilled and you'll be blessed in your life. In fact, let me just share it to you so that you can understand. Looking at the natural seed that he's talking about to be sown, which speaks to us today of biblical truths. As we look at the natural seed, I have a friend, his name is Bernie. Bernie is a horticulturalist, a degree botanist that goes to this church. I've known Bernie for like 20 some odd years. One day, Bernie set up an appointment to chat with me. Have you ever thought about what you talk about when you have a botanist in your room? We talked about a funny little subject called seeds. And for an hour and a half, we simply talked about the seed. In fact, I made 3 pages of notes about seeds. And I saw so many tremendously spiritual insights as Bernie was explaining the seed to me. One of the most fascinating things Bernie said to me, he says, "Pastor Jim, do you know what the definition is of a seed?" And I said, "Bernie, I don't know. What is a definition?" He said, "It's a plant in a suspended animation." In other words, here's this little capsule called a seed, as small as it may be. Inside that seed, in suspended animation, is everything that plant's going to be, every leaf that's ever going to come out, every limb it's ever going to have, every fruit it's ever going to produce. In suspended animation is that little seed. He says, and when you take that seed and you place it in the right condition, it will now bring forth or germinate to the place where it brings forth a harvest. And I said, that's amazing to me. In other words, in suspended animation today is the seeds of your future. It's out there. All you need to know is how to plant the seed, the right way in order to have the future that you want. Because whatsoever a man sows, he shall what? Reap. And so if we know there's a seed in suspended animation about our future and we plant the right seed, then our future becomes a harvest that God wants and not the chaos that we oftentimes bring to ourselves because we plant the wrong seeds. He went on to tell me something that was fascinating. I love this. He said these words. He said, there are good seeds and bad seeds. He said, usually this is the way it works, that a good seed is very expensive. It costs something. When I wrote that down, I started to think, in order for us to operate in the good seed that God wants us to operate in, it's going to cost us something. You ever thought about what it costs you to follow God? It costs you you. It costs you your personality oftentimes. It costs you your will, your want, your desire. Hey, your own thinking, your own judgmental system. And all of a sudden I realized that in order for us to have good seed, it's expensive and it's going to cost something. It's going to cost me. He went on to say something fascinating. He said these words to me. He said, a good seed is a seed that has a great viable rate. I didn't understand what the word viable meant. The word viable meant this. It means likely to live. A good seed should be a seed that is likely to live. A bad seed is one that's not likely to live or to produce. He went on to tell me something fascinating that just blew me away. He said, good seeds are fresh seeds. Those that are not so viable or have a real bad germination rate, in other words, there may be 1 out of 10 or 1 out of 20 seeds that really germinate. A bad seed, he says, is one that doesn't have a good germination rate and it's not very viable. It doesn't have a good likelihood to live. But a good seed is a fresh seed, and they're viable, and germination rate becomes a higher percentage. Just like God to say to us that when you do something with God, you just don't do it. It becomes first fruit. Even in your giving, it should be first fruit. It's not something picked through. It's not something sit on the shelf for a while. It's not something that you hammered everything out over. It's something that's set aside that's first fruit because that seed, he calls it like this, first fruit is that seed that has the viable rate or the germination rate to produce a great harvest. Old seed doesn't produce great harvests. Give me an illustration about it. He says, have you ever gone to Home Depot? And there in their nursery section, if you're ever looking for grass seed, he says, you'll always find a big giant bag of grass seed, like a 10-pound bag of grass seed for $8. And you look at this 10 pounds for $8 and you say, wow, man, that's a good deal. Next to it is a little box, maybe 1 pound or 1.5 pounds of grass seed, and it's also $8. And you say to yourself, wow, why would I pay $8 for the 1.5 pounds when I can get 10 pounds for the same price? The difference is one is fresh seeds with a great germination rate, viable, likely to live. And the other, listen to this, is what they call bad seeds or old seeds that don't have a great germination rate. In fact, if you even read the label on the big bag seed, you will see there's a lot of seeds inside that look like grass seeds that are really weed seeds. There's actually a percentage of what you plant is weeds. Most people don't understand that because here in this bag, there is compromised seed. And the compromised seed looks good, sounds good, feels good, appears to be more, and yet it is less. Wow, it just shook me up at how many biblical principles we were really talking about. He said this to me. He asked me a question. He says, Pastor Jim, do you know the best time to plant an oak tree? I said, Bernie, I don't have any idea what's the best time to plant an oak tree. He said, Pastor Jim, 20 years ago is the best time. And I stopped and I thought about that. If I want an oak tree, I should have planted it 20 years ago. He said, do you know the second best time to plant an oak tree? I said, Bernie, I don't have any idea what's the second best time. He said, now. He said, the point being is simply this, that if you want the oak tree, you're going to have to either start planting now for 20 years, or what you are today is a product of what you planted 20 years ago. And a lot of times we don't see ourselves that way, do we? We don't see ourselves that what we are today are simply the product of the seed that we planted 20 years ago. For Deborah and I, that seed 20 years ago was a healthy, strong, God-fearing, God-following, God's will seed. At times we didn't want to do it, but we did it. We planted it in our marriage. We planted it with our children. We planted it with our business. We planted it with our finances. We planted it with our dreams, our vision. This whole ministry that you're part of right now is all because of what the seeds that were planted probably well over 30 years ago that have now come to harvest today. Are you following me? So many people want, I'll plant today, but I want it tomorrow. Can I say this? It grass, and grass grows, and it comes and burns, and it's gone. And you don't want the grass or the corn stalk that's only for a season. You want an oak tree that's going to continue producing. Keep in mind, in suspended animation, inside the little acorn is everything that oak tree will ever be. Every characteristics of its bark, every limb that will ever come out is all in the DNA of that oak tree. And you and I need to realize that when God says, whatever a man sows, the principle is right before our eyes. The principle of sowing and reaping in every area of our life. In order to have a good marriage, I'm going to have to sow the right seed. In order to have a good children that are raised in the ways of God, I'm going to have to sow the right seed. In order for me to have a good business or finances are flowing in my older age and I have an abundance of things that I can give to every good work, like the Bible says, then I'm going to have to start doing something. I'm going to have to sow good seeds. And there's a difference between good seeds and bad seeds. There's a difference between, oh, listen to this, no seeds at all. Let's take a look at them. Because here's what I want to do today. I want to take a look at what to plant and how to reap. What to plant and how to reap. Here's number one. I need to know what to plant. In order to know what to plant, I need to know that there's sometimes I'm planting nothing. So number one is no seed. Did you know that most people that call themselves Christians plant no seed? What do I mean by that? That means they just kind of live for whatever. They live for the day. They live for the emotion. They live for the moment. They live according to what society tells them or social systems or what the majority of people do in our country. They don't really plant a seed at all. How sad is that? They just go along with the status quo of existence. And God has called us to plant a seed because guess what? If you plant no seed, there is what? No harvest. And oftentimes we're caught up in the ways of the world. We're caught up in the ways of life. We're caught up in the times and the hour and the moment of emotion. And we really don't plant seed. We just simply exist. When you don't plant seed, then your future is to whatever happens. It's like a crap game and you don't even know how it's going to come out. It's just who's ever rolling the dice. Well, whatever. What if your life doesn't have to be that way? What if your life doesn't have to be miserable? Do you know people that plant no seeds at all are people who have miserable lives? Their marriages have failed. Their families have failed. They're out of love. They never make it. They never do what they need to do. They never get to do what they want to do. They're always on the back instead of the front. They're always the tail instead of the head. They never get anything done. Why? Because they've never planted anything. And when you never plant anything, you're like someone who is chasing the wind. The wind blows over here and the wind blows over there and you just chase the wind all the time. And wherever it lands, that's whatever you're emotionally tied to. That's what you do. And most people, even in American churches today, have never been taught how important the seed is that they plant in their marriage and their words and the seed of their heart with their children and seed of the life that they have in business and the seed of faith that they approach God with. Never been able to understand the difference. They go to church. They're nice people. They fit well into society. But their life is a mess. And they're unhappy and they're unfulfilled and they're discouraged and they're frustrated in their lives. Because no seed. No seed gets what? No harvest. And we've all been a product of planting no seed. And we've all reaped no harvest and wondered why. Where are you, God? Why hasn't it worked? I like what the prophet Hosea says. Go with there in the Old Testament with me. And let's check it out together. Hosea. Let's take a look at the 8th chapter of Hosea. It's very important that we look at the Word of God and find out what He says about this. I love this. In the 8th chapter, verse number 7 says these words. They sow the wind. In other words, whatever, can't see it, don't have results, whatever blows against them, that's the way they are. They're moved by their emotions. There's no direction. There's no decisive decision. They sow the wind. In other words, whatever happens is whatever the world does, it blows me wherever I need to go. I guess that's the way my life is. Does it have to be that way? Of course not. Listen to this. And they reap whirlwind. In other words, let me tell you something. People who sow to the wind are people who have problems. People who haven't done the right thing. They got the wrong seed going. They're sowing to the wind. There's no seed out there at all. The seed's just blowing around. And he says, the stalk has no bud. It shall never produce meal or grain. If it should produce, someone you don't want or someone else gets it. And I don't know if you've ever lived your life where you have something for a moment and then it belongs to someone else. Many of you work that way. You work and before you even get your paycheck, tell me the truth if it's not true, your paycheck is already spent before you get it. So that when you do pay your bills, there's nothing left over. You have a bag with holes in it. You get money and all of a sudden it's gone and you don't have anything. That's what he's saying right there. They're not blessed. Why? Because they didn't sow any seed. They sowed everything that was wrong, whatever the wind was, and all of a sudden they had nothing. And whatever was produced, even if there was something that produced, someone else got it. That's people who have no seed. Remember, we're talking about whatsoever a man sows, he wants you to sow the right thing. So the first one is no seed. And we're looking at this. What to sow and how to reap. The second one, as we look at what to sow and what to plant and how to reap, we're looking at this. There's a second thing that we do have. Bad seed. Remember how I described to you that bag, that big giant 10-pound bag of seed? It looked like the Best Buy, but it was a counterfeit. It was compromised in the seed, and it was seed, but it was not the best seed you could have. And it was described because its value wasn't there. It was described as bad seed. Let me tell you what bad seed is. Can I? We've all done it. It's when you sow what you think instead of what God says. You have now sown into your life bad seed. Someone says, well, you don't understand. I had a marriage one time. I was a good wife. Or maybe you were a good husband. I was good. I was good and it didn't work, and I did good things and it didn't happen. I didn't get this. The principle doesn't work. The problem with it is you don't understand what's good. You know, that's why Jesus comes along and makes this statement. He says these words. He says, none good but God. See, good isn't determined by what you think or what I think or even say. Good is determined by what he says. In fact, the warning goes out in the Garden of Eden to Adam and Eve, and God says to Adam and Eve, you can partake of all the trees, but the tree in the midst of the garden, the tree, listen to this, of the knowledge of what's good and what's evil, that you don't touch or you'll die. The moment she took a bit of it, she didn't physically die. You know what happened? She now was able to make decisions for herself of what was good. She could now come to a place and say, I think that's good. When God says, that's not good. What's good is God. None good but God. And when we plant our own ideas, our own philosophies, our own agendas, our own insights, our own ways, instead of God's ways, God's promises, God's delight, God's passion, and God's word into our... Someone says, I was a good wife, or I was a good husband. Great, but were you a godly wife, and were you a godly husband? That's the difference, because your good is based on what society says. Your good is based on maybe your mother and father, their marital relationship. Your good is based on what you think according to what you've been taught, instead of a good based on who God is. And so what happens is if we sow counterfeit good, we've got the big bag out there, and there's not a lot of germination in the bag. And then we wonder and we complain to God, I'm a good person, God. I'm glad you're good according to society, but are you godly? God's not looking for good, he's looking for godly. In the godliness comes God's good. Did you hear that? Someone needs to love you enough and respect you enough and honor you enough to tell you the truth. I think you're mature enough not to blow smoke all over you and hit you with incense and call it spiritual, but to tell you the truth about what God's word says. You know, you are a product of what you've been sowing. So you may have been a good person according to society, but were you sowing the good seeds of God? And there's a big difference. With Deborah and I, with our finances, we had to make a decision when we were broke. What to do. I mean, there were times when we didn't have anything. In our marriage, when we were ready to get at each other's throat. I'm right, you're wrong, you're wrong, I'm right. And we had to back off and start applying the things of God. If I applied what I knew and thought was right, I would have been applying my thinking, which was bad seed, that would have never gotten the results of a marriage that is supernatural. Is anybody listening? Are you following me with this? Same with my kids. Have you ever had your kids come up to you and say, wait a minute, I haven't done anything wrong. I haven't done a thing wrong. It's not a matter of you doing something wrong. It's whether or not you've done something godly. You were good according to your friends, according to the society, or the standards of our social system. You're good, yes. And that's okay. But if you want the results that you need, you're going to have to get past the good of this world and get into the good that God says is good. And that's the difference. If you don't, what you sow is a word called iniquity. Iniquity is a word that means anything contrary to the ways of God. Even though it feels good to you, even though it's calculated in your mind as something, this is okay. This is what we do. This is what social systems tell us. This is what I feel I need to do in my flesh. Remember, the Word of God says, he that sows to the flesh. In fact, let's take a look at that. Back to Galatians. Remember that? 6th chapter, verse number 8, pop it up on the overhead, says, for he who sows to his flesh. In other words, my flesh says this is the way it ought to be. Guess what? Now you follow the flesh. The flesh will reap corruption from his flesh. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So you have an ability inside of you, if you're born again, to take the power of God that lives inside of you, the Holy Spirit, find out what is real, and sow that. What's real is what God says, not what you feel. What's real is not what your flesh tells you. What's real is not what society or social systems tell you. What's real is not what your economics and your checkbook cries out and tells you. What's real is what God says. Doesn't matter if it fits with your logical thinking. This is not about logical thinking. This is about godly thinking. And godly thinking is not just natural, it is supernatural. Is anybody listening? Without an understanding of that, man, we mess up all the time. Bad seed. There's this guy named Eliphaz. Eliphaz was a friend of Job. You remember the story of Job? He was a mess. He had all kinds of problems in his life. Eliphaz, his friends come and tell him something. Now, what he tells them is part true and part lie. But there's a part of the truth that I want you to see that he says, because it's really factual. Let's take a look at it in Job, the fourth chapter. Let's go with, if you will, with me to verse number 7. In fact, let's just pop it up while you turn to your Bible. Fourth chapter, verse number 7. Remember, we're learning how to plant not just good seed, but learning the difference between no seed and bad seed. Now listen to this. He says, remember now, he's saying this to Job, whoever perished being innocent. Well, the truth is a lot of people perish being innocent. Second thing is this. He says, where were the upright ever cut off? In other words, God's never cut off the upright. That's a true statement. And then he comes along in verse number 8, and he makes a profound statement in verse number 8 that's absolutely true. He says, even as I have seen, he says, those who plow iniquity, those ways that are contrary to the ways of God, those ways that you think are okay, those ways you feel are all right, those ways your parents taught you, or society or socialism taught you, those ways, those that plow iniquity, listen to this, and sow trouble, reap iniquity, reap what? Trouble. Whatever a man soweth, he shall reap. And you have the ability today to change the future and start planting some oak trees for your future. No matter how old you are, because here's why. God's the redeemer of time. By planting not just no seed, not just bad seed, which we all do, compromised seed. You know what I mean by compromised seed? A little of God and a whole lot of me. I use the word, but I have a whole lot of me making decisions and acting. That's called compromise. It's a big bag of seed that's got a lot of stuff in it. Some good seed, fresh seed, some bad seed. Compromised seed. And all of us as Christians compromise it all the time in our decision-making process. We throw a little word in there, a little God in there, and we do what we want to do. Is anybody listening? Don't you just love me? I mean, this is truth. I said that just because I'm probably rubbing you the wrong way about now. But this is how we grow. This is how we learn. This is how we change. This is how we find out about the things that God would have for us. Is that cool? So there's no seed. There's bad seed. Now there's got to come good seed. what is it that I'm supposed to plant? Well, obviously, I've already said that. In order to have a harvest, and I don't know about you, but I need a harvest. I need a harvest with my marriage. I need a harvest with my children. I need a harvest with my grandchildren. Listen, I need a harvest for generations after me. If I plant the same seed today, the good seed of God, and I plant that, that means that my generations, my children's children, are going to get blessed because great-grandpa was serving God. Ever thought about more than just yourself? So many times we just think of ourselves, but you know, this word builds. An oak tree lasts for generations. Good seed. I need the harvest. What is it? I like what it says in Mark, the 4th chapter, verse 14. Literally describes it as the sower sows the word. In other words, good seed is the righteousness of God, which is God's will, God's way. Oh, you got to get that. The righteousness of God is described in the Word of God, which is God's will, God's way. Yeah. One more time, because you missed it. Righteousness, if you were to define the word, is simply this. It is God's will, God's way. Yes. It is the right way of doing life. May not always fit with our thinking, but it's with His. And it's His will, His way. And when the Word of God is sown inside of me by the sower, see the word sower up there? That's the Holy Spirit. Place it inside of my heart, listen to this, then I can take it out of the reservoir of my heart and use it with my home, finances, dream, vision, destiny, purpose, existence today. And it works and brings that back a harvest to me. Is that powerful? So the Word of God. So the problem with it is most people in American churches don't know the Word of God enough to find out what it is that they should be planting in a time of trouble, what they should be believing when their children go south, what they do during economic storms, how to live life when the marriage is being frustrated or pressure is on. They don't know how to do that. So they just plant the bad seeds after bad seeds, and people are products of their bad seeds. Make choices to plant the bad seeds. For many of us, it's just the fruit of garbage comes out. I like what it says in Hosea. You were already there. Go with me to the 10th chapter of Hosea, and let's take a look at this. Now watch this. This is so cool. Sow for yourselves righteousness, the Bible says. 10th chapter, verse number 12. Sow for yourself righteousness. Now, I want you to stop, look back up at me for a moment. This verse is not something to daydream about or let your mind wander. I want to talk to you about it. Notice what it says. It doesn't say sow for a lost and dying world, sow for your mother or father, sow for your kids. It didn't say sow for, you know, goodness sake. It said sow for yourself. When you place the Word of God into a situation of your life and hold on to it by faith until it brings a harvest, you are now sowing to yourself. He says, sow to yourself, reap in mercy. And then it comes along this funny little verse, and it says, break up fallowed ground. In other words, open your heart and let the seed in, so it can produce a harvest in your action and lifestyle. Fallowed ground means that you're hard-hearted, let it open. When I was talking to Bernie and we were making notes together and writing them down and understanding the seed, he started to talk about the preparation of the ground or the heart. He said the ground for a seed to go in, if it's trodden on too much or if it's too tightly compact, it won't let the air in and it smothers it and the seed dies. If it's too close to the surface on some seeds, the dryness of the heat of the day will burn off the moisture that the seed needs. Seed dies. Then he came along and he said there are some seeds that produce only in fire. I thought that was fascinating. And he gave me this species of tree. They're all full of them across the mountains up here. In fact, those mountains up there, every time a fire hits those trees, the pine cones go off and let out all of their seeds. And until the fire hits the seeds, it doesn't germinate. But when the fire hits the seed, can you imagine this? It germinates and goes into the ground. 20 years from now, it'll be full of pine trees or a certain type of tree, fir trees that are up there that does that. That's how it germinates itself through fire. And I started to think, for many of us, it was a time of fire in our life that we opened up our hearts to Jesus. We were broken, we were down, we were under pressure and trial and tribulation, and we opened our heart up to Jesus, and we said, Jesus. And it's sometimes these hard hearts, and when he says, break up the fallow ground, what he's really saying is, don't let your heart be so hard that you can't be changed so that the seed of God can't go in. And don't let it be so hard that you can't get it out and use it for every area of your life. He says, for it's time to seek the Lord. That's good seed. Until he comes and rains righteousness on you. I don't know if you saw that or not. He didn't say in you. He said on you. I need God's will, God's way on me. I don't just need it in me. I need his blessings on me. I need his blessings on my marriage, on my children, on my finances, on my dreams, on my vision, on my heart, on my hope, on my passion, on my insight into what God has for a future. I need it on me, not just in me. We hold a lot of stuff in us, but we don't let us, a lot of stuff needs to be on us. I need the blessings of the Lord. Until, I love the word until. Sometimes you could say, I've been sowing the word of God, sowing the word of God. I don't have results. Deborah will minister next week on verse number 9 that says, don't be weary in well-doing. The very next verse, right after this verse. Because sometimes we get weary because we don't see results. The oak tree, in order for it to be what it needs to be, takes 20 years. But the wind doesn't blow over the oak tree. It stays strong. That's the way your life needs to be. God's not in any hurry. Today, whatsoever you sow, whatsoever a man soweth, he shall reap. Some people sow nothing, and they sow to the wind and get a whirlwind life. It's like trash life. Some people sow a compromised word of God, a little God, and a whole lot of themselves. Big bag of seeds that's been compromised, and they don't have a viable rate or likely to live rate of the seeds because they have too much of themselves in there, and it's bad seed. And then many of us are learning how to sow the seed of righteousness that God says he will rain on us his blessings. I can't do it for you. I can just love you enough to tell you the truth. I can't walk the walk for you. I just love you enough to say, here's what the Bible says. Respect you enough and honor you enough to make sure that we don't beat around the bush. Today, this has been a divine appointment with the teacher of the church, who is the Holy Spirit. It answers a lot of questions. Why you haven't gotten answers. Why you haven't gotten blessed. Why you haven't, oh, you've been good, I don't doubt that. But have you been godly? And held on to the godliness until he rains his righteousness on you. For all of us in here today, including me, God has spoken to us. Now it's your job to never forget it and to work on always in every area and situation of your life to plant the good seed. Hey, it's expensive. It'll cost you. It's fresh. It's a first fruit. It's not picked over. And it's not compromised. That's God's word for you today. If God spoke to you today, will you give him a great big praise the Lord? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Woo, glory. Isn't that a good word?
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.